Last Sunday, we were sharing about fretting. We looked at Psalm 37 and Proverbs 3, and I kind of want to continue the vein from a little different perspective, but I want to think about why we fret, why we worry about things that we can't control. What is the root cause of that, you think? Well, one of those things that causes us to fret is disappointment. And disappointment is common to everybody. So this morning, I want to talk about disappointment and recognize the fact of how God helps us to deal with disappointment in life and takes us through the process to deliver us from those things that press in on us, that cause us to fret, to cause us to despair, to cause us to get despondent. So you want to be careful in regard to disappointment, because you know what? Disappointment can make you angry. And anger, there's a righteous anger, but there's also an anger that becomes sinful. Because you can be angry and become bitter, and the bitterness begins to affect you internally, and what affects you internally affects you outwardly. Amen? So it can affect your physical being, it can affect your emotional being, all those things that affect us. The older I get, the more I realize how awesome our God is in the creation of our beings. I mean, He has made us so intricate. Every cell in our body, every organ in our body, how it operates, how our emotions operate. And when you recognize that and realize, you know what, that He is the one that sustains us. And that everything He built into us, all the emotions, all that area of our soul, if you will, the mind, will, and emotions, all those intricate things that affect us from the brain, through the nerves, through every part of our being, all that stuff affects you. All right? And so God is the one who made us. He knows what's best for us. It's only He that can deliver us and He that can heal us. Correct? Period. All right? So I want us to look at a couple of scriptures today. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at two verses, verses 8 and 9, and then we're going to drop down to verse 18. And look at 16, or verse 16 rather, 16, 17, and 18. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. In verse 9, and then we're going to drop down to verse 16. A little while later, we're going to go to three verses in Psalm 77, if you will. But before that, I want us to focus on these two verses in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. For we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And we're struck down, but we are not destroyed. Verse 16, therefore, we don't lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, I thank You for opening our hearts and our spirits to receive Your Word, that we'd have encouragement, that we'd have enlightenment. Lord, that we'd learn how to deal with the issues in life from Your perspective rather than ours. That, Lord, You'd bring us into victorious men and women rather than whiners and complainers when things don't go the way that we think they should. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Question for you. And it's one that you know the answer. But do you believe with all of your heart that God really knows what's best for you? Amen. Then why do we go through some of the stuff we go through? Some of the things that happen, we have to wonder from time to time. All right, Lord, if You're the author of my life, why is it that You allow some of these things into my life? I'm not one that believes that God made you and sets everything in motion and then He sits back and has nothing to do with all the stuff that goes on in our life. I don't believe that at all. I believe that in His sovereignty, if He knows the hairs of my head or the lack of, He knows everything about my life, everything in my life, and He wants to be involved in my life. And He wants to be that picture that I spoke about a moment ago of Jesus leaning on that bed every morning with His chin waiting for me to wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord. What are we going to do together today, Father?" And every day begins with Him and in His presence. I remember growing up in a Baptist church, and I remember that, and I got saved early on, and was no question that I was saved. And I remember that all my days, even in my teenage years, when I didn't always do things the right way. I knew that I belonged to Him. But to me, worship was something that was relegated to a Sunday. The rest of the week, I did what I wanted to do. And God brings you to the place where you begin to realize that, you know what, every breath you breathe, every step you take in Him, and therefore you're never removed from Him. Ever. That's why David said, if I make my bed in Sheol, in the grave, Lord, you're there. So no matter what I'm doing, if I'm on the lake in the boat, or if I'm at work on a computer, or if I'm dealing with an issue in my life, whatever it is, God says, hey, I'm right there with you. Well, I'm looking at the checkbook, and you're balancing the checkbook, and it's like, well, I don't quite have enough to go to the end of the month, and God's sitting right beside you and says, hey, I do. Point being is that He's in charge of our lives. And a lot of things that disappoint us hurt Him. Because it bothers Him that a lot of the things that we've allowed to infect us, if you will, and cause the issues in our life, if you will, cause Him to realize or Him to see that we haven't trusted Him the way we should have trusted Him. And so then we begin to experience the disappointment that moves into despondency and despair that can move into anger and bitterness. And before you know it, guess what? You're an absolute basket case. I'm telling you, 57 years of age, that probably three-fourths of my life have been spent as a worrier. And God knew that, and so He brings somebody in my life to balance that out who doesn't worry about anything. And so I'm learning from that and gleaning from that in my life and realizing, you know what? Most of the stuff we worry about, we can't change, and they usually don't mount it near what we think it's going to be. And so rather than be disappointed, it's like, oh, well, God. Oh, well, Lord, You're in control. The sun's still going to come up tomorrow. I'm still going to take a breath tomorrow until You decide to take me home. So, Lord, what's going to change? The circumstances don't change. My attitude about the circumstances needs to. Hello. If you can't change your circumstances, you know somebody who can and can help you view those circumstances from a different perspective. I want you to see what Paul's saying. Now remember this. We're talking about disappointment. Understand that Paul's talking about things here that are much more serious than what I'm talking about. He's talking about losing his life. He's talking about physical persecution, being beaten and thrown in prison and all of those things. And yet we worry about the nitpicky stuff, and this is what he's coming at when he says we're afflicted in every way. We have never had the affliction that Paul had. But let's take it and transfer it to where we walk and what we do. I had a struggle last week. You know what one part of my struggle was? I could not get the pictures that Tricia showed out of my mind. I thought about that 93-year-old lady who lived in poverty all of her life. I thought about the conditions those kids were in and the building and all that they were in. And Tricia, I struggled with the idea of, Lord, why are we blessed and why are they such poverty? I don't have an answer for that except that it's the nature of God or the sovereignty of God that placed me where I'm at and placed you where you are. I can't control that. And so there's times, you know, when it's like, well, Lord, I struggle with the blessing of what I walk in. And it's like, I just placed you where you are. You don't have any control of that. So you walk in the goodness and the mercy and the grace of my life and my love. Does that make sense? And that's where God takes us. So in His sovereignty, I'm going to trust Him to take me through. Looking at those pictures and looking at those conditions, feeling somewhat helpless and realizing that, Lord, what do You want me to do? How am I supposed to respond to that? So it was a struggle during the week for me with some of those things going on. Well, some of us express or experience disappointment from time to time. Nathan and Chuck both had job interviews this week. Neither one of them got the job. I know they were disappointed. I know they were disappointed. But let's go deeper. Paul said, we're afflicted in every way. And then Tammy takes her mother to the hospital. I know she's disappointed that her mother didn't come home from the hospital. Her disappointment is a greater disappointment than what they've experienced. Their experience and their disappointment was probably greater than some stuff I experienced during the week. The point is, it's relative to where we are at the moment, if that makes any sense. Okay? Now, God being God, God delivering us and taking us through to the other side, if we believe what He says, no matter what I experience and where I walk, God's going to take me from one place to the other. He's going to deliver me through my circumstance. Paul says, all right, we're afflicted, but we are not crushed. I want you to think about the word crushed for a moment and the implications of what that word means. Grace and Elton's granddaughter Amber was run over by a forklift and the pelvis area was crushed. Right, Grace? Crushed. Are we crushed? I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff that goes on in my life, am I crushed? No. Have I experienced some pain? Yes. But am I crushed? No. Do I get bewildered from time to time? Yes. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I experience things in life that I don't always understand. But I'm not crushed. My spirit's not crushed. My soul's not crushed. Paul said, hey, we've had some affliction in life, but we're not crushed. You can be an emotional, you can have an emotional crushing, if you will. You can have a physical crushing, if you will. You can experience those things in your life that can cause you to be an emotional basket case. But we're not crushed physically. The next thing he says is, we're perplexed, but we're not despairing. You know what perplexed means? Perplexed means I'm a little bit bewildered, I'm a little bit confused. I was a little confused when you didn't get that job because I just knew Nathan was going to get it. I thought you were going to get yours, but I was a little bit bewildered. But I didn't go into despair, crying my heart out. Now, if it had been me, maybe I would have. But it was them. Paul said, we're perplexed, we're bewildered, we don't understand. And you probably don't understand either. The point is remember what God said in Proverbs 3 that we talked about last week? Do not lean on your own what? Understanding. It will fall over. It won't prop you up. Your reason, God has given you the ability to reason with your mind. But if you're not careful, the reason can become a hindrance because faith, if you will, is believing in the things that you cannot see. Amen? Amen? Paul says that at the end of this scripture that we're looking at. So I fret about things from time to time, if you will, because I get disappointed. He said, we're perplexed, but we're not despairing. I want you to turn over to Psalm 77 in three verses. The psalmist here is having some issues. He says, all right, God, where are you in this mess and in this process and things that I've been through? And we have a tendency to kind of walk in this same place. If you drop down in the 77th chapter to verse number 7. Now, he's crying out to God in the first verse, but in verse number 7 he says, Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never be favorable again? He's asking questions. Questions that he actually is going to know the answer to. But Lord, are you going to reject me? Are you never going to be favorable again? Now, I want you to think about where you walk and what you do in your life. I want you to think about where you are in your job. I want you to think of where you are in your relationships and the things that are going on in your life. And you think, all right, Lord, there have been some disappointments for me. Will you ever be favorable again? Will you ever come through again? Do you remember when the children of Israel are in the wilderness and, man, they've been in captivity for 400 years and they're ready to get out of there. They've been making bricks from sun up to sundown. And then they even took away the straw, made it worse for them, made it hard. And they get out in the wilderness. They finally, after all the plagues, they're finally released after 400 years of captivity. And they get out there in the wilderness, and what do? They start grumbling because we don't have anything to drink. They're grumbling because we don't have anything to eat. And what are they saying? Hey, we want to go back. Wait a minute. Don't you remember how they beat you? Don't you remember how they made you make bricks? Don't you remember how they took the straw away? Sometimes it's easy when we are progressing in life to look back and think that that was a better time than where we are now. When in reality, it isn't. I think about my life. I heard a lady say at work one time, she was telling her kids, and I think I may have mentioned this to you, but she was reflecting. She's an engineer, and she said to her child was grumbling about something in college. She said, listen, you need to enjoy that. She said, that's the best years of your life, and it's never going to get any better, and you're never going to go back to something that good again. I thought, man, what a horrible way to live. I don't have one single period of my life that I want to go back to because I believe today is better than yesterday was. I don't want to go back when I was 20 years old because I don't want to experience the issues I had when I was 20 years old. Amen. I'm sure Sarah's sitting there listening to that thinking, wow, that's encouraging. But the point being is, you know, but Sarah, you probably don't want to go back when you were 10 either. You know, the point is that you don't want to go back. There's nowhere to go backwards. There's only ways to go forward. Does that make any sense? That the Father delivers me for a purpose and a reason. So when I have disappointment and I have rejection, it's like, well, do I want to go back? He knows the answer to this, and we're going to talk about this in a second, but back in Psalm 77 again, verse 8. Has His loving kindness ceased forever? In other words, Lord, have You forgotten me? Have You forgotten where I am? Have You forgotten the pain? Have You forgotten the issues? Have You forgotten the stuff? Well, here's the deal, folks. He doesn't forget, but we do. We forget how He delivered us yesterday, but He don't ever forget. Verse 8, has His promise come to an end forever? Wait a minute, Lord, You promised to sustain me. Where is the evidence of that? Trust. Believing what you can't see. Believing the Father is going to take you a little further. Verse 9, has God forgotten to be gracious? Wow. Lord, have You forgotten to be gracious? I want you to think about your life and where you are now and what you have. You got clothes on? Be grateful that God's put clothes on us. You got shoes on your feet? Be grateful that God's given shoes to you. Listen, I'm totally, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face because I didn't learn it earlier in my life, but I believe with all my heart that the more gracious you are, the more thankful you are, the more goodness you'll experience in the grace of God. Amen. If we complain, if we gripe, if we do what Israel does, we'll miss the blessings of God right in front of our face. Moses said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Listen. If we believe what we say, you didn't get that supervisor's job because God's protecting you from something somehow, some way. Maybe from yourself, maybe from them. God delivered you because you know what? Maybe there was something there in that school system that you didn't need to be a part of. Maybe again, it's protection for you or maybe for them. Who knows? Point being is that when we have to believe, okay, God, if You really have my best interest, I'm going to quit griping because You didn't do what I thought You ought to do. I'm perplexed. Yeah, I get bewildered. But guess what? I am not crushed by it. Amen. I'm still breathing. I'm still moving on. I'm still being delivered. Wow. Looking at that, those pictures again last week and those people in Nicaragua, I mean, they had nothing. I mean, they have nothing. For those kids to be so excited to get a little hoop with some ribbons on it that's absolutely beautiful, that brings some joy into their life. And we think, man, that's nothing. And they say, yeah, it is. It's a lot to us. Still relative to where you are. Do you realize that we're sitting here and some of us are fanning because we're hot? How hot was it down there? I mean, they had no air conditioning. So they weren't sitting in a building like this. They didn't even have the fans except in that big sanctuary. They didn't have any doors. So the flies and the mosquitoes or whatever's coming right through the windows, we could be sitting here batting flies instead of complaining because we're hot a little bit. And yet they had nothing. Lord, I'm perplexed, but I'm not crushed. And the psalmist says, well, Lord, have You forgotten to be gracious? Then the next thing he says, Or has he in anger withdrawn His compassion? God, have You withdrawn Your compassion? You didn't let me do what I thought I ought to do. You didn't let me get what I thought I ought to get. Have You withdrawn Your compassion? The interesting thing about this is the psalmist turns a switch and he says, history dictates to me that I already know the answer to every question I've already posed. And if you read the rest of it, which we're not going to, he begins to realize, God, you are gracious to me. Historically, you did it with the children of Israel. You did it with me. Every time you come to a wall in your life where you feel like that you have been forsaken or that you have are missing the compassion or grace of God, you need to look back and thank him for what he did yesterday. And you need to thank him for what he will do tomorrow, even though you don't know what it is yet. Right. Hello? And then watch him move and to deliver us from things that we don't know. Isn't it amazing how life is easy for every one of us when things are going well? But when the water hits the wheel, where is our trust then? To believe that he's going to take us through to the other side, like we said. Because the storms are going to come. They come to all of us. Your perception of that storm determines how you handle it and how you navigate through it. In the last part of this thing, in verse 11, this is what he says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Amen. And he had three questions of griping. Will the Lord reject, or more than that, he had about four or five. Will the Lord forget and reject forever? Will he never be favorable? Is his loving kindness ceased? Is his promise come to an end? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger withdrawn his compassion? And then he says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I'll remember what he did yesterday. Yeah, yep, I'm perplexed, but I'm not crushed. Paul says in verse 9, he said, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Now again, his persecution and what we have from time to time is a lot different. You can be going through a bankruptcy and you can be persecuted by the court system, you can be persecuted by your creditors, whatever, but it's not threatening your life. He was. And he says, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Has God ever forsaken you?
No.
No, he hasn't. Have we forsaken him? Yes. Now, I want you to recall something. Who on this earth is closer to the Father than Jesus? Anybody? I mean, he's the Son of the living God. He's part of him, right? Absolutely. And the Word says he looked and he waited and he saw what his Father did. He did what he saw his Father doing, and he did what he heard his Father saying, right? But on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken? Now, we know that that passage is in Psalms that he was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you got to remember that Jesus was without spot or blemish. And all of a sudden, he's bearing the weight of the entire world, every sin that had ever been committed. And at that moment, the Father, who does not tolerate sin, it was as if Jesus felt that he turned his back. But he knew, because he finished up saying, but Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So it's not like he knew that the Father had rejected him, even though at that moment he's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then, Lord, it's finished, and into thy hands I commend my spirit. You don't commend your hands into the spirit, your spirit in the hands of someone that you thought forsake you.
Yeah.
Point being, again, Paul said, we've been afflicted. And then he says, we have been persecuted, but we've not been forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecution comes in all kinds of forms. We think about people pulling guns on us or attacking us or somebody throw us in jail because we named the name of Jesus. Now, that time could or could not happen in our nation, I don't know. It's a possibility. In other nations, there are times when guns are pulled. There was somebody from, I forget where it was recently, I think it was China, where a guy was locked up and they were told him that he had to renounce his faith, they were going to kill him. Anybody remember reading that in the news? It was just recently? Was it Vietnam? But wherever it was, that happened in that person's life. Could it happen in our life? Sure. The question is, what will I do? Well, here's the deal. He talks about the momentary afflictions. Momentary afflictions. My life is temporal on this earth. Now, it seems like a long time. I've been on this earth 57 years. However long you've been on the earth, so you look back and say, man, it seems like kind of a long time, but yet it goes by so quick. But what about eternity? Forever. It's kind of hard to comprehend that from our standpoint, isn't it? Like forever. What is forever? doesn't have an end to it. Just goes on and on and on and on. Thinking about Tammy's mother. And she'd been on this earth 68 years. Sounds like a long time. But then Thursday, she just, or Friday, she just, boom, she goes home to be with God. Well, you know what? Now it's eternal. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends. I got a mother and father who've been in the heavens now for 30-some-odd years. And it never ends. It just goes on and on and on and on. Time has no meaning anymore. Period. Well, it does for me at the moment, though, right here, doesn't it? Yep. Well, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Then he said, and we're struck now, but we're not destroyed. When you got the phone call that you didn't get the job, a little bit of a downer for both of you. But you know what? You're still here breathing today. You weren't destroyed. You're not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. None of us are destroyed. And so we fret about things that we get disappointed about, and we get ourselves in a tizzy, or all the stuff that happens is like, but I'm not destroyed. I'm still breathing. Do I have everything I want? Maybe not. But I'm still alive. I still have blessings. I read on a church marquee this week, and it talked about becoming wealthy, and it said, begin by counting your blessings. Yeah, I agree. Begin by counting your blessings. I heard a story. I've never forgotten this illustration. We have an oak tree on our deck. And we love it. It's our favorite tree in the yard. It's right beside the deck. It covers most of our deck and shade most of the year. And it has these acorns. And the acorns start dropping. Now, the squirrels pretty soon will be cutting the acorns, and they just start falling on the ground and they hit the deck, and sometimes they hit us, especially when they're cutting them. And we noticed yesterday morning we're drinking coffee, and now they always start, these little bitty parts of acorns start to show up on the deck. And sooner or later, and the earlier they come, usually the earlier fall we have. Hallelujah, I hope fall's on the way. And so you're looking at these little acorns and then the big acorns, and I look up, this tree is slam full of acorns. And I heard a story about a hog. And hogs will root for acorns, and they'll take their snout and they'll tear the ground up, and they're rooting for those acorns one after another. And they're looking here, and they're looking there, and they're looking here, and they're looking there, but they never look up to see where they come from. Sometimes we're so obsessed with the things around us and the blessings, and we're looking for this and we're looking for that, but we never look up to realize where they come from. Amen. Father, it's you. And you know what I've discovered? I don't want his blessings. I want him. When I've got him, I've got everything else. I don't want him just to pour his stuff out on me because I want something in life. I want to learn to be grateful for where I am and what I'm doing, and to believe that my Father is going to deliver me. And to know that no matter what comes, that I may be afflicted, I may be struck down, but guess what? I am not destroyed. Amen. I want you to reflect on those questions in Psalms. Where's your compassion, God? He said, but I remember. I remember. Now, does God ever change? Scripture says He doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? If He blessed you yesterday and came through yesterday, why won't you believe He'll come through tomorrow? Why won't I believe, Lord, you're going to come through tomorrow? How are you going to do it? I don't know. I don't have to know. I don't have to know. Listen, I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to you. Because I am no different. I have human nature like you do. And when I see things take place that I don't like to see, and it's like it's a lack of money or lack of this, and I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, what's the deal here? Get a little nervous. I'm not going to fret, because I've done it a lot, but I'm going to quit fretting, or I'm trying to quit fretting, to allow Wall Street to determine how I feel every day. Amen. To allow politics to determine how I feel every day. We've been hearing about this debt ceiling. I'm tired of hearing about the debt ceiling. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? I can't change that. I can't change what the president does. I can't change what the Speaker of the House does. I can't change what Congress does. Whatever they do, I'm still going to move on in my life, and I've still got to navigate the waters, whatever those waters be. They say, well, it'll be disaster. I don't know. If it is disaster, guess what? He says, I'm not going to see my children begging bread. Amen. I'll still deliver you. I'll still take you through. Listen, if your safety and my safety is dependent upon the economy of the United States of America, we are in trouble.
Yes, that's right.
Because it isn't going to deliver us. But you know what he does? He said, I can bring streams in the desert.
Yes, he can.
I can make something out of nothing. If he can make me out of millions of cells, and he does it from the dust of the earth, what can't he do? Nothing. Can he fix your septic tank? Uh-huh. Or send somebody who can? You know, and I'm not advocating that you go out and sit in the yard in a chair and say, okay, God, I'm watching, fix this thing. Fix it. And he may. I tell you what, I've had some times in my life when I didn't have a real good mechanic nearby, and we went out and prayed over the car, and we put hands on the car and said, God, look, we're desperate here. We did it in Colorado. Didn't know anybody. We prayed. And you know what? I don't know what he did, Hugh. It didn't make any sense to me, but the car ran.
Amen.
I didn't know how it was going to happen. It was like he made it run. Does that make sense? No. But God can do things when we're desperate and when we're listening to his voice that can boggle the mind.
Amen. That's right.
Paul says, hey, we are persecuted, but we're not struck down. We are not forsaken, we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. And then he says this, we don't lose heart. It's easy to lose heart when you get your mind on the, or your focus on the circumstances. That's what Peter did when he walked out on the water. He forgot who he was walking to. And at the moment that he focuses on the storms and all the stuff around him, what happens to him? He starts sinking. Said, we don't lose heart, though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed every day. Hey, guess what? That means God every day is new with you.
Amen.
Does he not say his mercies are new every morning?
Amen.
Tomorrow's a new day. I don't have to worry about the things of yesterday. I'm going to get up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, it's a new day. I don't know what's going to happen today. It's a new day. It's not always easy to forget what happened yesterday. He says, but the momentary light affliction. Look how he's light. Light. He's talking about, we're talking about death and life and death matters here. He's talking about dying. He said, hey, even if you crucify me, it's a light affliction. But the point being, is it disappointment? Yeah, but guess what? It's a light affliction compared to what a lot of people are going through. Light affliction. And we're looking at it and say, hey, but you don't understand, it's me. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. It's a light affliction. And he says, momentary light affliction, producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. For while we look at the things which are seen, but while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not are eternal. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, will it really matter whether we get the promotion or not? Will it really matter whether we were able to fix this or that? Will it really matter? Nope. What matters? Relationships. What matters? Walking with God. What matters? Knowing when you face death where you're going and what's taking place in your life. Amen? I was looking at the songs again this morning, and it just amazes me to no end how God puts things together. We have done so in tears, and I don't know when. And you got a whole family here that feels like crying their eyes out. It makes me want to cry with them. And yet God still knows in His sovereignty where we're going to be at any given time. That those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Isn't he cool?
Amen.
How can you walk without him? Can't. Let's pray.